Happy Sabbath, family. Have you enjoyed yourselves so far? Amen, amen. My wife, I would just like to remind all of our youth and young adults who consistently step up and who want to do more for our church. Can we give them a round of applause? We'd like to thank you all. Thank you so much. You guys are amazing. Thank you. Lord, you're doing some wonderful things here at Berean, and we really appreciate it. Thank you so much. We're more than blessed to be a witness to what God can do in their lives and how much they love the Lord and how they exemplify their love for the Lord. Their drive and excitement is what, and to do His will is what's most amazing to us. Parents, you have to be proud of the way that your children are conducting themselves in the eyes of God. That is something to be very, very proud about. Lord, the way that they have exalted your name, they could be in many places, but they desire to be here with you, Lord, praising your name for your kingdom and your glory. So from the bottom of our hearts, kids, thank you so much. I invite you to please turn in your Bibles with me today to two key scriptures. We'll read them together. Our first scripture today will come from Matthew's, the last chapter of Matthew's, chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Let me know when you have it. Say amen. Amen. All together. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Our second reading today will come from Romans chapter 5, verse 19. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. Let me know when you have it by saying amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. We're reading all together. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. As humans and descendants of our forefathers, since the creation of all living things on this earth, since the dawn of mankind, from one continent to the next, all people, all nations, all races, from the smallest child to the eldest amongst us, we are born with the instinctual ability to learn something that is vital to our success in life, vital to our relationships with authoritative figures in our lives. Some of us catch on quicker than others, learn to adapt this character trait much sooner than our counterparts. And some of us take us a little bit longer time to learn this particular trait. Sometimes far too long, almost to our detriment, and in worst case scenarios, to our demise. Today, our theme, as my wonderful wife has been so meticulous in planning each of our youth Sabbath days, I love her. I appreciate you. Thank you. In each of our youth Sabbath days, since we embarked on this special leadership role, our theme throughout today has been what my sermon will touch on. That seems to be a very important topic to our Maker, to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our sermon, and when I say our, it is because I've acknowledged that even I am being taught the Word of God through the delivery of the Word of God myself. It's important to remind ourselves of this very, very important character trait that we should all strive to exemplify the way Jesus did in His short time here on earth. Our sermon today is about willful obedience. Willful obedience. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, thank God for willful obedience. Amen. Now, I know what some of you may be thinking. I've heard that before. Oh, you have you? Or have you heard the real version, the flip side version? The same one you may have heard from maybe an elder when you were younger, or from my younger generation here, what you may be hearing from your parents. The one you may have said to yourself in your head as we were reading the title of this sermon. You probably heard the saying, willful disobedience. See, many of us always or haven't always been saved, and we live by a set of standards that we deem worthy in the eyes of God. Or we walk in the light of grace and servitude that we do today, but of course not any of my fellow Bereans know, you know, we don't know anything about that right here, right? But nonetheless, you probably heard them say willful disobedience, which by definition, willful has a negative connotation or negative meaning behind it. Willful means deliberate or stubborn. A child who exhibits willful disobedience knows she is doing something wrong, even if he or she tries to convince themselves otherwise. While being full of will or determination doesn't necessarily seem like a bad thing, the word willful is actually negative in meaning and oftentimes used when someone is behaving in a stubborn or an uncooperative manner, mainly toward younger children, who, in my personal opinion, seem to be the more stubborn amongst us due to the lack of real-world experience. But that's my personal experience as a father and caring for my two, right? I know your children are angels. They don't do anything wrong, right? Right. But the primary meaning of willful means to be done by design, habitually disposed to disobedience and opposition of your own free will or design, done by choice, not forced or compelled. The prefix dis, the Latin prefix meaning apart, asunder, away, utterly, or having a negative or reversing force. When we look at our second verse here in Romans chapter 5, verse 19, this particular text is referencing Adam and Eve's decision in the Garden of Eden. Paul writes in his letters to the Romans, the sixth book of the New Testament, Paul writes in chapter 5, verse 19, and he points the finger here. And he states that for as by one man's disobedience, in his reference, he's referencing Adam and Moses and our forefathers, which death reigned among them, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one, in reference to Jesus Christ, the sacrificial lamb, shall many, and that would be us, past, present, future, shall be made righteous. When I say you must obey, what does that cause you to think? What's your immediate reaction? You must obey. Does it cause you to want to obey? Do you immediately think, yes, I want to obey. I want to do what you tell me? No. This is usually not the first reaction we have when someone tells us we must obey. But what is our first reaction? What do we immediately think and feel when someone tells us we must obey? What happens when you tell your child, don't touch that button, or don't touch that, or don't pick that up? Do they listen? Do they respect your authority? Do they obey? No, they hit the button. They touch it. They pick it up. Just because you said not to. Now, eventually they will obey. That is, after they've tested you and they found out that by testing your wrath will be unleashed on them. So they obey not because they want to, but because they don't want to unleash your wrath. This is what we call the law. And the laws are the rules that must be obeyed to avoid God's wrath. Obedience in the Bible. Unfortunately, it's just natural for most to not want to obey any authority. Many times, it's a challenge to humble ourselves, to submit to a power over us. In many lives, a power struggle rages as children don't want to obey their parents, employees resist obeying employers, or even citizens refuse to obey laws. To some, obedience is no longer a struggle, as they've probably made up in their minds a long time ago not to obey anyone but themselves, and certainly not to let anyone have any rule or reign over them. Like it or not, all of us have to obey someone or an authority over us for the rest of our lives. If there isn't order, there will be anarchy and disorder. Church has to obey Christ. Man has to obey Christ. The wife has to obey Christ. The wife has to obey the husband. The wife has to obey the husband. The wife has to obey the husband. The husband has to obey the wife. The husband has to obey the wife. The husband has to obey the wife. The husband and the wife have to obey the kids. I mean, the kids, that's the way it's supposed to go, right? The kids are supposed to obey the husband and the wife most of the time, you know, sometimes. You know, hopefully. But because of Adam and Eve's refusal to obey one of God's commandments or commands, all of us are born as sinners. And we have to battle sin's control for the rest of our lives. Ever since the Garden of Eden, man has struggled with whom he will obey. One of the many things of the Bible is government. Who will govern whom? Will it be God that rules and reigns in your life or our lives? Or will we not even obey him and instead be our own master? No matter what we have convinced ourselves to believe, my brothers and sisters, or what has been drummed into our head, there is a godly command to obey many things in our lives. But there's another obedience. And this obedience does not come from the law, but from the Spirit and the obedience that God truly desires. God desires our obedience not because we have to, but because we should want to. This is a theme that runs throughout the entire Bible. No matter where you look, you will find this principle. When someone calls you on your phone, Miss Paula, you have two choices, right? If you want to talk to that person, you can answer the call. You can pick it up. Or if something else is on your mind and you don't care to talk to them, you can reject the call, right? In writing this letter to the Romans, Paul is saying that he has accepted the call. He's accepted the call of Jesus Christ. He is being obedient to that call. How beautiful and peaceful is it when your son or your daughter wants to be obedient? What does that do to your heart? I know for me personally, it warms my heart. When I ask my son or I ask my daughter to take care of something or do something and they are obedient, it brings great joy to me. If it brings you joy, it also causes you to trust them more. If you ever get a chance to watch my wife and I interact with our children, we have a process geared around obedience and respect. We've implemented it, and we stick to it faithfully. It has in turn become like a second nature in my household and amongst us. It's a process that if it wasn't used back in the day, it's safe to say that before my time, I'm sure, that if you did not use this process, you were likely to have the taste drawn out of your mouth by a swift backhand. It's the constant use of the simple phrasing, yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. Amen? Now, some of you know what I mean if you didn't reply with yes, sir, or yes, ma'am back in the day. What would happen to you talking to your parents or talking to an elder? But at some point early on in our relationship, in our parenthood, we both decided, my wife and I, that, hey, you know what? When our children address us and speak to us or answer us or address any adult, they will show respect and obedience by way of the simple use of yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. And to hold them accountable to this simple show of respect, we were not going to let them slide when they didn't do it. So that they know that it's not only important to show us that respect at all times, but because we believe in the fifth commandment, that it's important that they honor their father and their mother as God has commanded us, and to also instill in them that even when we're not around, even when we're not looking, even when we're not present, even when they're not being watched, even when it's not convenient for them, they will do it anyway, anyhow. Follow with me, saints. See, so to develop the habit of keeping them on track, if they were to respond with yes or yeah, we respond in question, yes or yeah. Or when they say no or uh-uh, we repeat in question, no. And through repetitious dialogue and correction and not letting them slide when they slip up, they instinctually know to correct themselves in that very moment in time. It's just a gentle, giving them a gentle reminder. Or in some cases, not all, because they tend to do the right thing most of the time. If the gentle reminder doesn't work, the reminder becomes more stern in nature. Follow with me. See, God, through his teachings and parables found within the Bible, shows us small, constant reminders, some gentle in nature and some more stern and wrathful in nature. God shows us what can happen or become of us if we were to show him willful obedience, and what may become of us when we show him willful disobedience. See, through his grace and his favor, when you didn't know how you would get through the week, but you are sitting here today enjoying the presence of the Lord this Sabbath day with a smile on your face and joy in your heart, when you were not sure how that bill would get paid, but you tithe anyway and you put offering in anyway, when you were not sure how that bill would get paid, but your utilities are still on, when you were not sure if you would be able to buy those groceries, but you, your wife, your parents, your grandparents, your aunts, your uncles, everyone who's under your domain that you're caring for did not go without a single meal this week. Someone here knows what I'm talking about this morning. Through the trials and tribulations in our lives, after hearing of the passing of your loved one that you hold dear to you, was put to rest too soon. You know, the one you didn't get the opportunity to say goodbye to say that you lose a little sleep over, or receiving that seriously concerning diagnosis your doctor had to explain to you that you did not want to believe. Yet you're listening to God's message today, and hope has been restored. After being given tough news at work about your performance not being up to par, even though you feel you're given 110%, with only a 90% return of investment, the news you just received that you're not receiving that promotion that you worked so hard for, that you've been looking forward to, that raise that you were expecting is being cut short, or you won't be receiving one at all. Yet you receive a large direct deposit or a large check in the mail from a bonus that you were not expecting. Amen. Or when you were asked to work on the Sabbath and you took a chance to showing God how you were committed to his willful obedience. And then several days later, before your upcoming Saturday shift, you get that call and you get that email saying that you never have to work another Sabbath for your company again. Someone here knows what I'm talking about this morning. See, God is constantly giving his children gentle or sometimes not so gentle reminders of who we are and who we should be willful obedient to. We must all realize that God wants positivity in our lives. Despite your negative environment, he wants you to win. Despite the many losses you will endure, he wants you to be happy. Despite the many times you will weep, he wants you to enjoy life's greatest gift. He wants you to have everlasting life. As said in John 10:10, the thief does not come except to kill, to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I have come that I may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. In order to experience this, we have to adapt, and we have to adopt and execute on the concept of willful obedience. We have to accept God as our Lord and Savior Christ obediently, not because you're afraid to die. That's a great reason, but God wants your obedience willfully of your own doing, of your own choice, so that you and I and we may live again upon his return and the coming of his heavenly kingdom. Thank you, God, for allowing us to have the incredible power of choice. We can choose to live our life here on earth while it has been gifted to us any way we choose, good or bad, not without consequence. But the choice is freely ours to make. What an amazing power we have been given. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, thank God for willful obedience. With God, when we are willfully obedient to faith, not because we have to, but because we want to, it truly brings joy to the heart of God in Christ. You are called to be saints in Christ, every one of us. Did you know that? Do you believe that? Can you hear his call? You may be wondering what God calls you to do. Is it where you work? Is it your job? I used to always say my calling was the arts. I'm an avid art fan. All things art, drawing, painting, origami, which is Japanese paper folding, anything art, photography especially. It's the one thing that I love so much that I'm willing to do it for free. But we have to realize that our calling here on earth is not our job. Not at all. Your job is not your calling. You may be thinking, well, Mark Anthony, I think you're wrong. I disagree. I've worked my entire life to get to where I am. I worked hard, tirelessly, to perfect that craft. I put in countless hours to get better with my hands. I'm highly skilled at my trade. I put myself through years of schooling and hard work to get to where I am. I can build anything. I'm very organized. I'm an analytical person. I can solve any problem. I help people. I sell homes to people who are in need. I sell cars to people who need cars. This is my calling. But the fact of the matter remains, we have to realize that our calling here on earth is not your job. Your job could serve to fulfill your calling in a way, but it is not your calling. You see, we are not called to go to school for 20, 25 years, get a great job and make good money and die. It's not our calling. I need you to turn to your later to your neighbor and let them know we are called to fulfill God's great commission. That is our calling. The Great Commission, which is our first verse of today, was delivered to the apostles right before Jesus ascended into heaven. He called his disciples to meet him in Galilee in a mountain so that he could deliver this great message to us. And his message found in Matthew chapter 28 was, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Amen. What we've discussed today is the willful obedience, not because we have to, but because we should want to. The fact that this is the kind of obedience that God desires. I've been talking about the call of God, the fact that God calls every one of us to salvation. But not only to salvation, but to servitude. Our youth are on a path of servitude. And I'm happy to say that they are here at Berean and they are following that call. It's a beautiful thing. They deserve another hand clap just for that. And it's very right. When we accept the call of God, he changes our identity. He gives us that new name and a new purpose. Our identity is no longer in what we do as a job or what family we were born into, but in who we are in Christ. We are his sons and his daughters who have to obey the call of his great commission. All of this information and all of these realities, all of these truths should then lead us to say with confidence and hope here in the verses as written by Paul that we have to fulfill this calling. My plea to you is this, that you surrender your life to God daily with willful obedience, not willful disobedience, willful obedience. And please allow God to use you to fulfill the Great Commission. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, thank God for willful obedience." God bless the readers and the hearers of his word. Thank you, Father. I love you, family, and God bless you all. My appeal at this time, if you're looking for that special call in your life and you want to follow the Great Commission of God, and you just need prayer, you don't know how you want to go about doing this or how you want to answer the call of God. Maybe you've been from job to job, and now you finally realize that that isn't your calling, that you want to fulfill the Lord's purpose. I ask you to come down with me, and we want to pray for you. If I could get my elders to step up with me.